You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. Along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, it is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program here. It is Wednesday, February 26, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day.
Look at that. The camel has made it with us here to the middle of the week. Glad to have you along with us. Many thanks to Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project, as well as Mike Johnson, Superintendent of Public Schools in beautiful Eau Claire, for being here in hour number 1. Coming up in hour number 2 at the bottom of the hour, stick around, because going to have some great information for you after the bottom of the hour news at 1:34. New freshman state senator Sarah Kayeski is going to be here in our studios. I understand now this is the benefit of being downtown Madison. We have right near the Capitol and the walk on down. So we have Senator Kayeski is going to be here in person in the studio.
Yeah, I believe she has a meeting shortly after, but because we're a block away,
boom,
she can just walk right over there.
That's fantastic. We love that when that happens. So look, and Senator Kayeski represents the old hometown now in Richland Center. So it's a very diverse district. We'll talk to her about this. She is from Lodi, but the district goes from all the way in Richland Center and parts of Sauk County and stretches over into right here in parts of Dane County. So it's an eclectic group of people that she represents, and she is going to be here talking about her co-sponsorship of the Right to Work bill.
Or Right to Repair.
Right to Repair. I'm sorry. Right to, good Lord.
Todd. Very different things.
Very different things. Yeah. I'm doing 3 things at once. Yes. Right to Repair. Right to Repair.
No, this is a good thing.
People nearly fell off their chairs there. No, Right to Repair bill. And I know that Senator Paff was on, I believe, Jane Mattner's program yesterday talking about this. So. And so now one of the other co-sponsors, Sarah Kayeski, is going to be here talking about it as well. What this boils down to is, say, you know, if you're a farmer or somebody and you've got a tractor or a piece of equipment that you should, I mean, it's just common sense. Most people think, well, yeah, you should be able to work on your own equipment. No, no, no. As it turns out, it's harder than it thinks. You're harder than you think. So Senator Kayeski will be here to explain that. And we'll also talk to her about, she's a lovely person. We first met her down in beautiful Muscadet last year when she was a candidate. And she was there to listen to folks from Richland Center on the closing of the 2-year campus. One of the few people that actually, either Republican or Democratic, that took time to come and listen. And so she was there. And I think she's someone who really has communities in focus. So it'll be great to catch up with her and find out how her first few months or first few weeks of being in office is. So Sarah Kayeski at the bottom of the hour, state senator. So all of that and much, much more, we're going to try to fit in before the end of the show. And I know it means people, late night people were making fun of this last night. And for, you know, I guess it is kind of funny, but it's also, this is actually pretty serious stuff. Joann Fabric closing every store. And I know there's a lot of people in Wisconsin that use Joann Fabric, and it's not just fabric, it's baking supplies and it's decorations and things like that. And anybody who crafts, this is a big deal, because yes, there are some stores that might carry some of this, but Joann Fabric has been a mainstay and they're going out of business.
Yeah, if you were looking for specific craft, you know, pieces, mm-hmm. materials, that's what I was looking for. Right. If you're looking for certain materials or certain fabrics or, like you said, baking supplies and things, mm-hmm. they were one of the best places to go, for sure.
Yeah, so get there quickly, because going out of business too. We'll talk a little bit more about Joanne Fabric going out of business as well. And we're going to have a what's worse for you. But first of all, we want to go back to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. And go out to our friend L.A. Tom out in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Now, L.A., I know you have more going on in your life than just us. But I was wish you would have been on yesterday because our what's worse yesterday was what's worse, New York or Los Angeles. And we're not talking about the people, you understand. It's just that there's the Los Angeles mayor, Karen Bass, who fired the fire chief there, just doesn't seem to be taking a lot of responsibility. And then in New York, you got Eric Adams out there, who is, you know, he's a schmuck and now under Trump's control. And so we had this debate yesterday on what's worse, L.A. or New York. Would you like to weigh in?
I would like to say New York because it's much more congested, mm-hmm. and it's much more of a city where L.A. really is a tapestry of towns.
It is.
It's a lot of small kind of feeling of towns, mm-hmm. You know, throughout the whole area of Los Angeles. And New York is, honestly, it's more like San Francisco. It's a mm-hmm. city, and you have to go over a bridge, or you have to go far away in order to get away from the city. And yeah. I'm one of those people, you know, I like my small town where I grew up, and I think I've made my, even though my town, my city, whatever, North Hollywood is, you know, probably 300,000 people, it still has, you know, neighborhood type places where you feel like you're in the small town.
That was my point. So, yeah, I've spent a lot more time in L.A. than I have New York City, but I've been to both. And that was kind of my point that if you're just going to say L.A., like downtown L.A., if I had to judge it on downtown and also the traffic for me in L.A., if you're going places, that's what kills me. But to your point, the tapestry of cities, I mean, I could, if I had the money, I could live in Pasadena. I mean, I just think that area is spectacular. I love Pasadena. And it's all these, you know, I spent some time at Hermosa Beach and Downey, you know, West Hollywood. I mean, these are just great little... Yes, they're not little, I know, but to your point, they're communities. And I think that's a beautiful part about L.A., but that's not why you called. Go ahead.
Right. The reason I called is I was actually helping my mom yesterday to try to learn how to call her congressperson, you know, and give her opinion. Mm-hmm. And I actually, and Derek, as Trippy would say, Derek Van Odenwon is her... as her representative. Mm. And I actually got him. He was actually in the room when the call came through, and he got on the phone with me.
Really?
And I have to tell you, yeah, the man is a very, very rude person. When I said,
was
I
he sober?
Want... Well, that's very interesting you say that. Cause when I talked to him, first of all, Aaron was great. Aaron is the person that takes the calls, and Aaron was good. And then he like practically grabbed the phone away from Aaron and started talking to me. And I said to him, I said, I don't want, or my mom does not want for any of the cuts to come from Medicare, Social Security, or Medicaid, or Obamacare, or Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. Mm. And he was like, oh, we're not going to take anything from there no matter what. And I said, okay. I said, I don't want tax cuts going to the U lines, and I don't want them going to the Bradley Foundation. I don't want them going to Widow Hendricks. Mm. He goes, why do you call her Widow Hendricks? So he got on all defensive with me. I said, well, she is a widow, and her mm-hmm. last name's Hendricks, and that's a lot of people. Oh, that is the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard a person say. I said, sir, I am your constituent.
Right.
My mother is your constituent. You need to learn that you actually work for us. Mm-hmm. We don't work for you. And he cursed at me on the phone.
What,
I was
what?
Like, you have got to be, I go, I can't remember what he said, what if it was bull, you know, bull S or what it was. But he said, if you think we're going to cut something there, then I'll buy you a beer. And then I said, well, from what I understand, you need to slow down on your drinking, and you need to maybe not be buying people beers or talking about beers when you're working. I said, and also, please be nicer to your staffers. And I told the staffer, Aaron, I said, Aaron, what you ought to do is you ought to run for political office, since you're probably doing most of his work anyway. But yeah, I thought that was really, really quite, you
That's
know,
interesting.
I was very astonished I actually got him. But two, what a rude, rude person. And what a, because I've asked him, I'm saying, when is the town hall meeting going to be? And he says he's going to have one, I guess, in March, when he gets back or whatever. And I said, okay, well, you know, my mom wants to be put on the mail or on the list to let her know where it is. And my sisters also who live in that area want to all know, you know, when it is. And he was so, like I said, it was hot. It was rude.
I appreciate you sharing the story. We got to run, but I really, really appreciate L.A. calling in. That's interesting to have a firsthand account. And of course, Derek Van Orton has been, you know, it does not deny that he verbally attacked and assaulted a teenage librarian in Prairie du Chien, where he lives. He has also not denied that he verbally attacked and assaulted teenage pages in the U.S. Capitol after drinking too much out there. So this guy has a history of being rude to people. That's unfortunate. Appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Gary in Sussex. Gary, a couple minutes before the break. What say you?
Okay. Well, first of all, I wanted to call up, and I thought that I was a little bit out of line with Matt yesterday.
Our friend Matt Flynn was on the show. Yeah.
Yes, Matt. Okay. Now, I took offense to the fact that when he said he thinks that, you know, Republicans are or whatever. Yeah, I took offense to that. But what I do want to say, and I want to apologize because normally I'm pretty calm about things, you know. But I do want to apologize for that.
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
As far as you know Donnie Deutsch is?
I do not.
Okay, well, he's on CNN.
Okay.
He's very popular. Okay. He said last night that I'm quitting the Democratic Party and I'm going to become an independent because the Democrats have just gone so far. Now, for you and your listeners, if you guys, like me, I listen to everybody. If I listen to only The View, like my wife does, I have to deprogram my wife every single night when I come home because she attacks me on, oh, what about Donald Trump? I said, where'd you hear that? Well, it's on The View.
So, wait a minute. Yeah. This is very interesting. I want to be appropriate. I don't want to go too far down this road, but I think this is very interesting. Couples that your wife is obviously an avid Democrat, you're avid Republican. Does that affect your relationship?
This is the thing. My wife is a Republican, but when she watches The View, she gets tainted all the time, and she says all this other sort of stuff. So I have to bring her back to the
Now, wait a minute. Tainted? Gary, she just hears an opposite view. That's not tainted. That's
right,
being smart.
Right, but she doesn't watch it. She doesn't watch Newsmax, and she doesn't watch Fox. She really doesn't watch that stuff. But she listens to The View, and she votes Republican. I'm telling you, Todd, it's terrible.
All right, I got to run, Gary, but thanks for the apology to Matt. I appreciate that. Back with more on the other side. Cindy's waiting on the line, and we'll get to it. What's worse as well? The outdoor edition. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Having some fun, unexpected fun. That's the part about this show I love. Two unexpected calls. Now, Gary's phone call was very, very interesting because, well, they both were. L.A. Tom and talked to Derek Van Orton.
Right.
The only person that I know so far who's actually talked to Congressman Van Orton personally on the phone as a constituent. So that's very interesting. And then we had Gary from Sussex calling in and revealing that his wife, you know, gets all ginned up by the women on The View. And then he has to come home and have these marital political spats. So, One of our texters on the text line says, sounds like Gary's wife might be one of those secret Republican wives voting for Kamala Harris. I don't know. I mean, you don't know, right? I mean, you don't know who would people go in the voting booth. But also, it's very kind of Gary to call. And, you know, he and Matt Flynn, you know, got into a little debate on the show on Monday. And Gary calling in to apologize. So, see, right there, we could all get along. We could all get along. So, I appreciate that. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Cindy, listening in Appleton, hometown of Harry Houdini. Cindy, thanks for calling and listening. What say you?
Well, I'm just wondering who's going to do the job loss report for the first 100 days, because I don't know if we can trust anything that comes out of that administration. But I'll be curious to see how many jobs actually were lost in his first great 100 days.
That's a great point that we have not been talking about, Cindy. I appreciate it, right? I mean, usually presidents brag over, well, this is the job creation, my first 100 days. There is going to be a net job loss like nobody's business. Like nobody's business in this first 100 days under Donald Trump. Thousands and thousands of people being laid off by Trump. Lots of federal workers, by the way.
Or a lot of them are getting letters. It's called like the fork in the road, where it's like, you should probably go to the private sector. If you don't, there's no guarantee you can still work here at the VA hospital or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so effectively getting laid off just might be delayed a few months.
Right. I'm going to send, this is a radio production in real time, Zommers. I'm sending you a cut. I forgot to do this. This is good old Marjorie Taylor Greene. Trump acolyte, Republican member of Congress, ultra MAGA. Now think about this. James Carville was talking about this on CNN with Anderson Cooper last night. James Carville, longtime Democratic strategist, saying his dad was a proud postmaster for years. Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, are post people, I guess you have to say, but postal workers, carriers, letter carriers, federal employees. Think about all the people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, Veterans Affairs nursing homes at King. All the people that take care of our veterans, federal employees. Think about our agriculture workers, USDA, federal employees. They are part of what makes Wisconsin great. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
You can protest all you want outside of departments of this government. You can protest all you want, but the American people disagree with you. You're protecting the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy is not a business. Those are not real jobs producing federal revenue. By the way, they're consuming taxpayer dollars. Those jobs are paid for by the American tax people who work real jobs, earn real income, pay federal taxes, and then pay these federal employees. Federal employees do not deserve their jobs. Federal employees do not deserve their paychecks. And these are jobs that can be fired at will.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs. That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker. Tom, L.A. Tom on YouTube says, where's her income coming from?
That's a good point.
Great point, L.A. She is a federal employee, by the way. Cadillac Healthcare. Being paid for by you and I, the American taxpayer. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark in Purdesac. Mark, if you can make it quick, please. What say you?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe Gary's the one that needs to get deprogrammed. But well, I was away from the radio for a bit, but I don't know if you've seen the little Trump turning Gaza into this little paradise where there's all kinds of gold statues to Donald Trump. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Mark, because I want to get this in. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. All the people, and I saw this firsthand in Madison, all the people that had encampments down at the University of Wisconsin-Madison pro-Palestinian, pro-Gaza. You have people putting anti-Semitic graffiti on the parking garage where I park my truck in every day. All these people having a saying that I can't vote for the lesser of two evils because Kamala Harris is as bad as Donald Trump. He won't be that bad. So we're going to stay home. All of us in Dearborn, Michigan, we're going to stay home and send Kamala Harris, the Democrats, a message. Well, how's that working out for you? Because those folks are as guilty as the MAGA voters in making sure that this happened, what we have right now. And Donald Trump put out a sick video, to Mark's point, literally he's calling it Trump Gaza. Trump Gaza. So how did that work out? All you great folks on the progressive left who wanted to stay home, take a powder, not so hot. Mark, are you still there? Do we have time to bring Mark? But Mark, agree or disagree?
I agree. I mean, it's just ridiculous that they should have known better. And I'm just sad that it's just disgusting. I mean, the whole golden calf thing that they've got going with him, it's just sad.
And he put this on his Truth Social, Trump did.
Yes, he did.
I mean,
I thought it was fake when I first saw it, but he actually did it.
No, he actually did it. It's a real deal. Appreciate the call, Mark. Come on back. More phone calls. Phones are lit up. We'll take your phone calls in order that they're received. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We will get to what's worse eventually here. And we have, Sarah Kayeski. State Senator Sarah Kayeski is here. I got into the phone call, so stay with us. Sarah Kayeski is on the other side. So we have so much fun, we get distracted a little bit. But come on back. More on the other side. It's the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 26, 2025. Getting a few texts in that may be having audio troubles on some of our platforms, but I believe though we're on that, and Zomers, that our great engineering team, is aware of it. We're correcting it if it has not been corrected already.
Fixed.
Very good. Fantastic, guys. We always appreciate the great work of Zomers and all of our engineers. Thanks for the great discussion. Last segment as well. We'll try to sneak into what's worse before the end of the show here. But right now, we are joined by new freshman state senator from the 14th district here in the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Kayeski, who is from the, we'll call it south central part of the state, but reaches over into the old neighborhood there in Richland County. And she is here in person for those watching on stream, YouTube, Facebook, whatnot. It's great, Senator, to have you here in person and kind of what are the advantages we have only being a block away from the Capitol.
Yeah, it's a really easy little commute I had.
Well, welcome to the show. We met last summer, fall, when you were campaigning down in Muscogee, Wisconsin. For those that don't know, that's just south of Richland County. And there was a listening session there, and it was regarding the closure of the two-year campus at Richland Center. And you were there along with now former Representative Katrina Shankland and Senator Royce as well. And I was so impressed that even though you weren't a senator yet, you took time out of your campaign to listen and then to give your viewpoint. And I think regardless of partisan politics, that so many people in Wisconsin are just looking for an elected official who will legit listen and then hear what they're saying. Is that what you attribute to part of your, you knocked off an incumbent, which is not an easy thing to do. Do you attribute your listening skills to part of your victory?
I guess you would have to ask the voters, right, fully, but I think people did experience from me a sense that I really do care and I do really want to hear from them. Just who I am as a person that has always worked in the service field of being a counselor, my greatest skill probably is listening and trying to hear the heart of what is going on for somebody. And so I brought that to the table just because that's who I am. And so I think it is as somebody that wants to be in service to people, that skill I think is a little bit underrepresented and much needed. So I think people appreciated it a lot, and hopefully that was one of the reasons.
Your district, the 14th, I call it an eclectic district. Maybe that's not the right word, but it stretches from basically the east side of Madison and then north, kind of along the interstate, and then encompasses, goes west into parts of Sauk County, into my home county of Richland County in southwest Wisconsin. You're originally from Lodi. Is that where you grew up at?
No, I grew up in a small town called Cashton, Wisconsin. Yeah.
Know exactly where Cashton is.
Oh, really? Yeah, oh, yeah. So, you know, when I grew up, it was about 850 or so was the population. Now I think it might be 1,000. So a really small town in Monroe County. Mm-hmm. And so, but I've lived in Lodi now since 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, Cashton, for those who don't know, just north of Richland County, kind of south of La Crosse, and Organic Valley Dairy has expanded there, and it's a huge part of their economy out there in Cashton. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you live in Lodi. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what led you to run for the state senate.
Yeah. So so my background is, like I said, I grew up on a dairy farm. And so I was really deeply entrenched in living in small rural Wisconsin. And all that entails, right? It means you know the neighbors, you know the business of the neighbors, you also help the neighbors when things are going wrong. You grow up in a small rural school, which is really the bedrock then of that community. I went off to study. I have a master's degree in counseling psychology, and I've worked for 25 years doing counseling services for individuals, couples, and families. And that's just been my passion for all these years. I've just loved my work. But with the changes in the political landscape, I became more concerned about the world I was leaving my children and bringing our children into, and became increasingly more active in just the political realm and wanting to do my part. And that transitioned into starting a nonprofit when COVID hit our small community, because it really seemed to divide us in a way that was so unfortunate. Both because I think we all were choosing to live there because we care about that small connected piece that we were seeking in that that rural lifestyle. But with the changes and the pulls of political division, there's just so much rancor. And I was then seeing where I brought my children, where I was raising them, it became kind of a hostile environment. And I just felt so compelled to just do whatever I could. As a mental health provider, that meant, well, how do you help people feel better? How do you help people care about each other? So it was really just this idea of then focusing on how do we work together? How do we uplift our environment? It was called Lift Lodi. It was really coming together in service of one another. And from that, I inadvertently just got on the radar of people that said, hey, Sarah, will you do more? Because we like what you stand for. We like what you're trying to do, your mission of service. And so initially I was asked to run in an unwinnable assembly district. And I said, well, why would I ever
I've
do
been there. Yeah.
Well, good for you then, because you know how hard it is to run, you know, and so then it's just a passion project, really. Yeah. So that's what I was willing to do. Again, I was so concerned about what was happening on the national level, local level. And so I said, yeah, I will do that because, again, that's my way to serve. So I was doing that. And then the new maps came about. And then I thought, okay, good. Now people do want to run in that district because it became more winnable, possibly. And I was then, after a lot of people had conversations that I didn't know anything about, I was asked, would I be willing to instead move to run for the Senate? Mm-hmm. And I think that really just came from people seeing who I was, seeing what I stood for, and getting behind that. And I really, it honestly is really kind of this unbelievable journey that I didn't expect. And now, like, about a year later, here I am. Yeah. And it's amazing. And I would have never predicted it, but it feels absolutely like the right place to be.
Well, I just appreciate you sharing your story. Well, we all have a journey. And from what I've seen, this is a very grassroots thing. and you're an authentic person. You're genuine. You are who you are. And I think that really connects with people. We're talking to State Senator Sarah Kieski, a new freshman here, Democrat from, well, we'll call it Southwest, South Central Wisconsin. One of your first bills here, you're co-sponsoring, Senator, is something that I didn't even really know we needed until I kind of dug into this. It's called Right to Repair. Tell folks why this is needed and why you're a co-sponsor.
So, yeah. So it's something that I did hear on the campaign trail. And I, too, was quite fascinated by it because when I was growing up, again, on the small farm that we had, my dad just repaired his own equipment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what he did. You know, every small engine, he jimmy-rigged a lot of things. He was like the natural MacGyver. So to me, when I learned about this, I didn't even quite know, what do you mean? You can't fix your own equipment. And really the tools and some of the products that are needed for fixing are now limited to just these dealerships that have sold you the equipment. And so you can't do your own repairs. Mm-hmm. And so it's cost prohibitive oftentimes to either go through that dealership only because it's then a bit of a monopoly, right? It limits your choices. And you weren't able initially, now it's gotten better, to have access to those products. Let's say it's a computer program oftentimes now because this machinery now is this so advanced. But in order to even get access to that, it's in thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And you've already paid into a piece of equipment that was hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? And so but if you did work on your own equipment, or if you had, a local trusted repair person, that could equate with your warranty is no longer good,
right?
And so you're kind of stuck. And so this is just an opportunity to say, okay, people should have the right to have access at a fair cost. A fair cost. Not saying that they can't make some profit. I mean, I'm not anti-business, right? Sure. But I am for competition. And so in order to be able to then be able to get access to this and or have a independent mechanic have access to this so that they can work on your equipment. So you can have somebody that you know and have a relationship with or is closer to you or is more available at a desperate time of need, because when do tractors maybe break down?
When you need them the most.
When you need them the most, right? No. And when are they needed the most? It's during harvesting, right? Oh. Or planting. Who else is harvesting? Everybody.
Right.
And so if it has happening, then it might be a epidemic, right, mm-hmm. of time. And if you have a limited resource of people that can service your equipment, you might be waiting, and you can't wait when you're a farmer.
Right.
You need to be able to have that fixed expeditiously. So that's kind of the concept behind it and why it's so necessary.
Yeah, my granddad was a farmer, Richland County dairy farmer for 40 years, and he had a Minneapolis Moline, and then he was one of the first people who got a Deutz, it was called at the time, one of the first German tractors. He worked on it all the time, and I think he would look at this bill that you are co-sponsoring, the Right to Repair bill, and say, well, this is just common horse sense, as he used to say. But to your point, and we're talking to State Senator Sarah Kieski here on her new co-sponsorship of the bill, Right to Repair bill. I think this would surprise a lot of people. I know State Senator Paff was on Jane Mattner's show yesterday, the day before, talking about this as well, that there are maybe apps available, because so much of this, like our cars now, are computerized. But again, that costs thousands or hundreds of dollars just to download the app. And really, I would think that agricultural producers, owners of this equipment would say, look, it doesn't matter what party you're from, we should all be able to work on our own equipment without costing thousands of dollars. Have you talked to any Republicans so far in the legislature? Have you gotten a sense that there might be a bipartisan approach to a very common sense bill?
I'm going to remain hopeful.
I like that.
Yes, I'm going to remain hopeful. Mm-hmm. Let's just wait and see. I'm going to cross my fingers because, like you're saying, farmers come in red and blue or purple or indifferent, right? Yeah. And so I don't think this should be a partisan issue. I think it's just understanding this is helping the cornerstone of our economy, right? We're helping those farmers, help them with their costs, which we know we need to, you know, do more to make sure that costs aren't just so going out of out of reason.
Yeah.
And we also want to be able to have maybe small businesses benefit. So, you know, some mechanic maybe could blossom a new business in a small area where he knows he could have agricultural equipment he could work on. And then it's another opportunity for jobs.
We're coming up about a minute and a half. The time always goes quickly. I know you have other appointments to go to, so we don't want to monopolize your time. But, Senator, is there anything I haven't asked you about your co-sponsorship of the Right to Repair bill that you believe that listeners should know?
Nothing in particular. I think just understanding, again, it's kind of simple, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know that we
Common
need to
sense.
Make, yeah, I don't know that we need to make it that complex, right? Mm-hmm. Do people believe that others should have the right to either repair their own equipment at a fair, reasonable cost, have access to the things they need, and or be able to have it with an independent repair person? That just makes good sense. That seems like it helps with, again, access and keeping something from being too monopolized in a way that I don't think is honoring competition in the way that we really do need to in the business field.
Yeah, I agree. Minute left here. Give us a sense. You haven't really had a proper floor session yet other than your inauguration, but what's it like just to be in the building?
Oh my gosh, it's like, it's magnificent. And it's so hard to explain what it's like as a new person because, you know, I walk in and, you know, it's magnificent, but then like the next day you'll notice something else about, you know, like maybe it's the doorknob and how intricately designed it is, right? Or you look at the panels on the walls in this new committee room. I mean, it's just ornate. And then you also, you look at, pictures of the people that have been there. You're
it's
just
great.
Like, it is such a historical moment. It is such a privilege.
Privilege to have you on the show. I'll have you back soon. State Senator Sarah Kieski, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, it's just my pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
Our pleasure. Come on back. We'll wrap things up after this on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Hoppe Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock on the top of the hour. ABC and CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then Maggie Dawn in from 2 until 4 every afternoon. The Maggie Dawn Show, always a fantastic treat. I believe if I heard correctly on the promos, Mr. Zommers, our old friend Matt Rothschild filling in for Dom Selvia today.
He's at least joining in. I don't know about filling in. I might have missed that, but right, he will be on the show.
You'll get a dose of Matt, and that's always a good thing. He's a great guy, and stay tuned for that as well. And then Pete Schwabe tonight on Nightlight with Pete and Conrad. So be aware and be there for that. Many thanks to State Senator Sarah Kieski. What a wonderful person she is.
Definitely. I'm very glad we have somebody who so clearly just loves her community doing what she can to help them out. And Right to Repair is something I've been aware of for a long time and is very important and just seems like common sense.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely fantastic. And it's good to hear an elected official who's working on legislation that affects real issues with real people. I mean, here's something, doesn't matter whether you've got a snowblower or a $100,000-$200,000 tractor, whatever it might be. Everyone should be able to, work on their own equipment in their garage or the workshop or whatever. So,
it makes sense. You know, I see some people say, well, new tractors are more complicated than old tractors. Mm-hmm. This is true. And so that's why part of Right to Repair is the documentation explaining it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll scroll the phone lines quickly. 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack standing by. Jack, always glad to have you along. What have you got for us today?
Well, two things. First of all, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been, she's just repeating this old Republican saw that government has to operate like a business.
Mm.
Excuse me, government is not a business. You hire these people, civil servants, and hopefully, legislators to be of service to the people of the country. Mm. It's not a business. It is a service. The second thing is, if she really wants more of a business approach, bring in more money to the government, very simple answer.
Right.
Tax the rich more. Oh, yes. And don't cut the funding for IRS agents so that there are enough of them that they can actually spend some time looking at the rich that are not paying their taxes.
Right.
That's a real easy solution. If you want to operate it like a business and you want more money coming in, there's your answer.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate the call. 855-752-4848. Should we do a four-minute version of the thing just for the fun of it? Why not?
Sure.
Let's go. Here we go. Time for what's worse, speed round. Let's go. Time once again for what's worse, the speed round edition. A busy day, but we'll sneak it in here at the end. This is timely, timely indeed. As Mike Lucas likes to say, spring is here for many of us. I mean, it's warm out there. We're going to be doing some hiking. Now, when you're hiking, especially in the spring, like Todd, might be a little out of shape, a little bulk on you. What's worse, walking uphill or walking downhill? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. What's worse, walking uphill or walking downhill?
Previously, we've asked about stairs, similar question with stairs. What I'm most interested in is how does this answer differ for people's answer on stairs? Like if somebody says, we had a few people say walking downstairs is more dangerous because you might trip and fall and hurt yourself. And I wonder if people have the same feeling about hills.
Therein lies your answer, because I think for a lot of people, stairs are different than just walking down a grass hill or up a grass hill. What's worse, walking uphill or walking downhill? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or give us a call or text rather on the Civic Media app, or like our friend Robert watching on Facebook says, depends on if I'm just starting to exercise or finishing up. That is a practical answer.
It is.
And he's 100% right. If you're just starting out, it's like, oh, I can walk up a hill. But if you got to finish by walking up the hill, very different. L.A. Tom, watching on YouTube, says walking downhill is worse. Walking uphill is more hard work. And walking downhill is better, I guess. Walking uphill is...
He wants the challenge. So he's saying walking downhill is worse.
Got it. I'm sorry. I misread that. I apologize, LA. So there is a guy. He's walking up those hills in beautiful Southern California. Why not, right? Beautiful palm trees and whatnot. Cindy in Appleton. What's worse, Cindy? Walking uphill or walking downhill?
Well, being a runner...
Yes.
I have always believed in taking advantage of gravity. So the downhill's the good part, uphill's the bad part.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Cindy. What's worse, uphill or downhill? Greg in Genesee Depot listening on AUK says walking uphill is worse. What else we got here? Tyler in Wisconsin Rapids is a Karina fan. He says whatever Karina says is best. All right, very good. Brian, listening in Milwaukee, NWAUK, says both are worse. Depends on how steep, but uphill is definitely where, I guess uphill is worse for him. Dave, listening in New Berlin, says walking uphill is worse as well.
Zahmer? I'm gonna say that uphill is worse because I'm just thinking about a muddy hill. If the hill is muddy, I can slide down. But if it's muddy, you can't even walk up the hill. You just keep falling.
This is a story for another day, but years ago, I was hiking up a volcano in El Salvador.
Ooh.
And Volcan Izalco. And when you get to the top, there's like a lot of ash, and you just take like two or three, you're crawling basically, and then sliding back. So yeah, I'll say uphill is worse.
Seems there like that's go. The consensus.
A speed round edition of What's Worse. Come on back tomorrow. More What's Worse and more fun. Your phone calls as well. Many thanks to Trigvi Olson, Mike Johnson, State Senator Sarah Kieski, Zomers, and you. We appreciate all of you listening and playing along. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Maggie Dawn is next. See you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.